Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Dometic Interim Report Q2 2015. Today, I'm pleased to present Roger Johansson, the President and CEO, Per-Arne Blomquist, the CFO, and Erika Ståhl, Head of Group Business Control. For the first part of this call, all participants will be in a listen-only mode, and afterwards, there'll be a question and answer session. Speakers, please begin.
Thank you. So good morning and good afternoon to you all calling in for Dometic Group's second quarter results 2015. As always, I will start walk you through the presentation, and later on, Per-Arne then will fill in with more financial details here. So if you please go to page two, and we start off. Page two, we have done, as always, you know, highlighting the quarter in some few bullets. All in all, we see increased sales and actually improved earnings in almost all businesses worldwide. This is a very important statement, so this is decently good results are driven by many things. Secondly, we see continued growth in the RV markets, basically globally there as well. We have good result development in EMEA and Americas. Those two regions drive the result improvements, the sales and results improvements. We have, as we touched on in the last quarterly call, adjusted pricing based on different cost drivers, and that has been implemented in all regions in different ways, but with the main effects in aftermarket versus OE. We have good traction on our cost initiatives. We are running a high utilization in our plants right now, which is always helping. We have, during the quarter, also bought back PIK notes, and we have amortized our senior debt, which has also improved our leverage. In the quarter, we also were upgraded by Standard & Poor's to B with a stable outlook, which is good. So if you go to the next page, looking at the momentum we have in the quarter, if you look on sales, we have 31% growth, of which is 17 in constant currency. Organically, 17 and 5% in comparable currency or stable currency. So basically, 5 in underlying growth, 11 through currencies, and 15 through the acquisitional effects, then mainly from Attwood, of course. Looking how we transform this into earnings, we have 42% improvement in earnings, 24 in comparable currency. And if you look on a comparable currency and organically, it's 11%, which obviously with a 5% growth, shows that we have also good profit conversion in our P&L, in our operations and in our P&L. Cash flow is stronger, obviously, and it's mainly driven by the improvement in EBITDA. We got some questions last quarter about Attwood. We have actually, we have, for your information, then made a note about what the sales were from Attwood in the quarter for your information. We will, going forward, not report Attwood separately. If we go then to the next page, as always, some comments on the U.S. RV market, continuously an important market for us. We continue to see growth. We see a rolling three months of 108,000 units, +5%. Year to date, May, some 170 at 6% growth, and rolling 12 at 9%. You see a little bit of a pace slowdown in the growth, partially seasonal. Our judgment is that the RV builders, they take the upcoming open house days in the U.S. very, they're emphasizing this, and they are adjusting their, both their builds and their inventories, for this event that is becoming more and more important for the U.S. market, which is coming on later in September. But all in all, still a good market, obviously, RV OE in the U.S. If we go to Europe, Europe is in many ways showing strength, which is very encouraging for us after some years with a rather, you know, conservative results. If we look on registrations In the RV sector, we see that the rolling three, including May, is up 52,000 units or 9%. Year to date May, 64,500, rolling 12 then 116 and plus 5%. You see the different, as always, we show the most important markets. As a separate information, I can also tell you that we saw very interesting numbers coming in June, where without UK, we had a 17% growth on RVs all in all. And important also to see that some markets that have struggled for a long time, France and Holland, is showing very strong numbers in June. So year-to-date June, we actually have the numbers, is 8.3% up. So seems that there is good pace now in the European RV registrations. If we go to the next page and look at trucks. Trucks show strong underlying market, as many of you probably follow this sector also for other companies. Rolling three in May, 56,000 units at 20% plus. Year-to-date May 15 and rolling 12, a little bit down. We also see this reflected in our business. I've said in the past that, you know, it's not necessarily the number of trucks being built in worldwide or in Europe, but it's actually that they also take our great products and use them more frequently. And we have good, actually, growth in the truck market for us, truck business for us. We go to the boat and marine side on page 7. We see rolling 12, this is U.S. only, it's the only, let's say, official data that we use here. U.S. powerboat sales are up 8% on rolling 12. See a little bit change in pattern between the different categories. We are very glad to see the 88% increase on the big boats above, let's say, between 60 and 100 feet, a very important segment for us. Also, we, you know, our marine business globally year to date and in the quarter is very good. Encouraging to see that this sector is showing strength. The pace on the smaller boats is not so good, as you can see. So if we change pace then and go to the regional slicing, let's say, we go to page number 8. All in all, net sales is up 77%, obviously driven by both our Atwood acquisition effect and currencies. So we tried to break it down. So in comparable currencies, it's 42%. If you take out Atwood then, our growth is 28% in the quarter, year over year. And as I told you, 430 million SEK was the Atwood sales in the quarter. You can see our comments in the different sectors to the left. I said before, a little bit of pace down on the RV side, but apart from that, we have a strong region also reporting in this quarter. Moving to EMEA, up 10%, 7% in constant currencies. And here it is mainly the euro and the pound that has strengthened towards the SEK that makes the difference there. All in all, very encouraging pace and dynamics in the European region right now. It has been a long time since we have said that, but that's clearly the fact. And also there we see strong businesses. Also in the aftermarket business has been strong. Commercial vehicles, as I also mentioned, in Europe has been strong. So, you know, we're pleased with the pattern we see in Europe, actually. Obviously, we also keep tight cost control and have several initiatives running in EMEA to control costs, which is also helping the earnings that you have seen and will see. If we go to Asia-Pacific, for us, a little bit different picture from what we have seen in the past. Asia has been a good growth locomotive for us, and now it's changing place with EMEA. We see softening in the region, actually. It is mainly, for us, it is mainly China that represent the slight downward result on top line in comparable currencies. The currencies in the region have strengthened as a follow-through from the U.S. dollar, but really looking at it at constant currencies is a slight downward trend in the quarter here. China is the majority of that, although China still is not very big for us. You know that, the ones that follows us. We saw a little bit decline from Australia in the beginning of the quarter, but they actually came through back in the second half of the quarter. But China is the main contributor for this. Apart from that, Australia is keeping up well, and it's still by far the most important market in Asia for us. So that gives you a snapshot of the quarter by region and by businesses and underlying markets. And I'll ask Per-Arne to take it from here and talk a little bit about trends in general.
Thank you, Roger. If you then turn to page 11, you can see that Dometic trends are generally positive. If we take the sales, the last 12 months and actual currencies are actually increasing with 18%, and we're pacing right now at 10.4 billion. The underlying increase is 11%. If we take the EBIT, it's roughly 1.3 billion, and which means that it's a plus of 25% in underlying currencies, 13. And that means that we have a good conversion rate from sales down to EBIT. EBITDA is right now at 1.5 billion. EBIT margins is up, and our operating cash has increased from December 2013, roughly 600 million, and now up to 1.1 billion. So we see improvement there as well. If we then go into page 12, also the sales side shows strong growth in all different areas. This is in rolling 12 months and also actual currencies. RV, of course, inflated by basically the Atwood acquisition, but still roughly have a 20% increase anyway without that acquisition. And you can see that we are roughly then at 1917. At CPV and Marine. So it's good growth overall in the business right now on a 12-month basis. Just coming back to the impact from different effects we have on translation acquisitions in the first quarter. Roger already mentioned this, but the translation effects right now is 11% plus, and that's basically the US dollar, who stands for 78% of that increase. I think the strength for this quarter is that we still have organic growth of 5%, and we add on that with the acquisitions of Atwood and Prosto, which means another 15%, so overall 31% plus. Moving into cash flow and working capital, if we take the working capital increase from 2.2 up to 2.5, I would say it's basically the increase from Atwood that explains this. If we take away currency effects, especially, we'll just look at the inventory, for example, it's more or less flattish, which means that we, with an increased top line, keep our working capital under good control. And that you could also see on the right-hand side, where we now have a working capital related to sales of 20%. We are trading down from the peak of 26% and now close at 20%. Cash flow important for the company, given the position that we are in. And if you take the first half year, you could see that the operating profit has increased with 306 million, which means that explains basically the whole increase from net cash flow from operations, which increases with close to 200% from the 167 up to 474. And that's, of course, very good. From the financing side, we have made some disposals during the second or the first half year. You can see that the proceeds from sales of subsidiaries, 658, helps us to be able to pay back also some of the loans. So overall, we have decreased our borrowings in the first half year, but still have more or less the same when it comes to cash and cash equivalents at the end of the period for the first half year compared to last year. That gives the effect on leverage on page 17 that we are now down to a leverage of 5.6 compared to the 7.5 that we had in Q4 at the end of last year and 6.6 in Q1. So if I summarize the financials for the company on page 18, sales, yes, we are growing, 31% overall, organic 5%. We are increasing profitability when it comes to EBIT in relative terms from 14 to 15%, on EBITDA level from 16 to 17.5 roughly. We're improving cost efficiency, taking down the cost in relative terms from 17.1% to 15.1%. We continue to invest in the company, CapEx to sales, 2.3% in the quarter. We keep a good capital efficiency, taking down the core working capital to roughly 20% and remain on a high level when it comes to operating capital. And we are improving the cash flow quarter on quarter and also year over year.
Thank you, Per-Arne. Let's move, as always, and look on what is the lifeblood of the company, it's the product. So a couple of examples of launches during the quarter. We don't talk so much about something that we're actually rather strong in the we book this mainly under the automotive aftermarket, let's say business, but to some extent in also in RV. It's a new rear view video camera and screen, which is improving user interface, and has the screen has higher quality than the former one. If you look on awnings, we have talked about in the past that we have been a little bit under attack on awnings, and we want to claim to continue to be number one and have the best products, so we put more effort into that than ever. We're launching a power awning with powered accessory channels and LED lights in the tube, in the rollout tube. This is a typical example of, you know, smart innovation that is innovative for the users of the products, really. And, you know, here you can basically snap in speakers, lights, and things like that. It's quite a nice product. Also on the minibar side, although we don't put a lot of focus on minibars, as you sometimes hear us say, but we also keep up here. We have launched a new drawer minibar, which is becoming increasingly interesting for some applications, and this is one with both improved performance and also improved design. So some examples of some product launches that we will continue to show as we move forward. With that, we can conclude the presentation. In summary, as Per-Arne said, if you look on the financial ratios, most of them show very good development. We keep our positions in the marketplace. We have encouraging, strong underlying businesses in Europe, which is important for us in the U.S., and a little bit of downturn in Asia, but we're not overly concerned about that. We'll get back on track. And we have good, strong operational performance right now, which is important both for our customers and for our, let's say, results, bottom line. So I conclude there, and as always, open up for any questions you might have.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question for the speakers, please press 0 and then 1 on your telephone keypad, and you'll enter to a queue. You have to press 0 and then 1. We have one question. It's coming from Mr. Basil. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, great. Hi, this is Cecil Bowick at Brigade. Roger, thanks for the presentation and good quarter. I had three questions. One, could you just give us a bit of an idea where in Europe you're seeing the growth? It seems like Germany's doing pretty well. Which other markets are doing well for you guys? The second question I had was, you obviously had some very good margin improvement year over year. Where are you seeing that come through? Is that mostly, you know, I think you mentioned some cost saves. Could you maybe elaborate on that? And then finally, I think you guys bought back some of the PIK notes. Is that something you're intending to do, you know, going forward? What are your thoughts on the PIK notes? Also in relation to your comment with the IPO.
Thanks. If you take it one by one, Ilan, first, where does the growth within EMEA come from? It comes from different businesses, but if you see, it's actually the big known markets that are showing good strength. It is Germany, it is France, it is also Holland picking up both on the aftermarket and OE side. So it's a good pattern there, okay? And on the business itself, we have a good aftermarket quarter, we should say, driven by both initiatives from the sales teams and also from product initiatives, let's say. So the aftermarket is showing good strength in EMEA, which leads me to the second question, which is EMEA, you see, You know that we have a profitability mix that is stronger on the aftermarket side than on the OE side, so that mix is helping also the margins. We are keeping tight. We have initiatives on SG&A costs that is clearly showing off in EMEA. We have other cost initiatives in the other two regions that we, especially in Americas, that is helping the improvement in margins. And in the quarter, we also have price effects. So, I mean, it's a mix of those things driving the margins. On the third question on the PIC, I ask Per-Arne, maybe you want to comment on that?
Yes. Well, I can't really comment. We did sort of buyback here now in the second quarter, but if we're going to do that, I can't comment upon that, given that it's a listed note.
Howard, in terms of the capital structure as such, I mean, given your comments around examining IPO?
Yeah, I mean, right now we are at 5.6. We have sort of improved the leverage, which I think is good for the company as it is. And future capital structure, I will not comment upon right now. I can't do it that simply.
Okay. All right. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you.
Once again, I remind you, if you have a question, you have to press 0 and then 1. You have to press 0 and then 1. Our next question has come from Julien Thury. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Once again, you know, very good quarter. Congratulations for that. I just wanted to, if possible, to clarify, you know, the situation in China. You know, if you could explain, you know, you mentioned that it's not a big contributor, how big it is for the group, and if actually, you know, if it is a small contributor, why did it have such a major impact on the APAC? Thank you.
Hi, Julian. No, it's the thing is that we, if you look on China, we do see a change in pattern there. We see a rather in constant currency in the quarter in China, it is a rather strong decline. I mean, it's and despite the fact that China, let's say China and Hong Kong only represents on 20% of the Asian sales, China itself is a portion of that. And but on all, we have seen a rather strong decline in the quarter. And we our conclusion is, since in China we don't have any RV mainly, and it's a growth, let's say, it's just started for us. And we clearly see the overall consumer sentiment in China is hurt right now. And our type of product is, you know, is in the category of discretionary spending. And I think that is simply what we see here. And then, as I also indicated, that in the beginning of the quarter, there were some effects also from Australia, mm-hmm. but they caught up. So it mainly is China that is driving this, Julia. Okay?
Okay, thank you very much. If you could also clarify, you know, the impact of the Chinese slowdown on your working capital, because I remember that in the past, part of the reasons why your capital has, you know, increased was because of the, you know, the longer supply chains. Thanks.
Okay. Yeah.
Should I answer? No, I think that has a minor effect on this right now. I would say that it is the overall control of the working capital that is sort of positive right now, and that even that we have an increased net sales, we are keeping working capital more or less flattish.
Thank you very much, Roman. Sorry.
Yeah. No, my comments were simply related to the sales internally in China. I mean, the operations in China, they run as
they run very well.
They run very well. Mm.
Thank you very much for the clarification, German.
Okay. Thank you, Julian.
We have one more question. It's coming from Alexander Basco from Pictet Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hi, Alexander. Yeah.
Hi. Thank you very much. Congratulations. Very good quarter. Quick question regarding this PIC buyback. First of all, I understand that you haven't canceled them, so it's still on your balance sheet?
Yes.
And if then I see it should be in the magnitude of 300 million Swedish krona, where I can see that in the balance sheet? Hello?
Well, yeah, you see it on the debt side. If you go into the debt side, you will see sort of the long-term debts. Yeah.
But so you bought it, you haven't put it in the treasury as a current asset or anything, so for the netting?
Yeah.
Hello?
No, it's netted.
It's
netted, so it's
not an asset.
No? It's not an asset.
So it's just recorded as an outstanding debt. So it's from one side you. Okay. And as we speak at the moment, there are no plans to cancel that one.
No, we have no plans to do that.
So at the moment, you'll just keep it on your with your as a treasury.
Okay? Exactly. Mm.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next question is coming from Arndt Mutreis. Please go ahead. Arndt Mutreis, you're live. Please go ahead.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I was just wondering, what is your target leverage in the medium term?
Well, I would say that the target is to take down the leverage as much as we can. And we haven't given any official sort of leverage targets.
Okay, so it's not like you're looking for like 4x or something like that that you have specifically targeted at this stage?
No, we are trying to sort of take down sort of the leverage as such and work very much with our cash flow overall, which is important for all companies, but especially for us.
Okay, great. Thank you.
I remind you, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question, you have to press 0 and then 1. We have no further questions, so back to you, speakers.
Okay, then thank you for showing interest, and we'll see you again for the quarter 3 report later on this autumn. Thank you very much, and have a good weekend.